A Thing with Feathers, written by Idren, read by Jelazic Zone, fandom To Kill a Mockingbird. Summary: After the War, Scout Goes by Jean Louise. Chapter 1. In the years after the war, Jem rarely talked about how he earned his Purple Heart. He gave me his brown leather bombardier's jacket on the spot the afternoon I showed him I too could shoot like Atticus, and we considered the matter closed. My roommate Helen Ann teased me about wearing the jacket so often. She said even Lady Welders had more finishing touches than I. It seems silly to me to fuss over curling my hair and coloring my lips on a daily basis, but I have learned a modicum of tact since my undergraduate days. If I turn on the hose of common sense too strong, I risk dousing goodwill I might need later. I told her that a reputation for eccentricity is the best finishing touch a writer can acquire, apart from the requisite unhappy childhood and small-town background. She laughed. Helen Ann carries her own memories of the war close. A silver cigarette lighter delicately engraved with her initials and Paris, 1945. She can talk for hours about her assignment there as a nurse, which by her stories consists entirely of typing, dancing, flirting, and day trips to the countryside. I don't begrudge her the happy memories, which grow and grow in the retelling. My brother came home from the war. Hers did not. Chapter 2. I first met Helen Ann on the Crescent to New York City. I had boarded at Tuscaloosa, she at Baltimore. We got to Philadelphia before she observed, casual as could be, that the gentleman across the aisle must be missing his wife dearly. I glanced over to see that in his sleep the older man had begun to nuzzle his bag in an overly familiar manner. I looked back at the stranger next to me and saw Dill's own mischief dancing in her eyes. Her irreverence loosened my tongue, and I soon learned that my own plans were not as unusual as Aunt Alexandra would have had me believe. Helen Ann had no room prearranged, nor copious funds to live at large in the big city. She was striking out on her own, and damned traditional expectations of marrying young and leaving the workforce early. I liked her spirit, and liked, too, the idea of sharing housing for a time while we settled in. New York was crowded beyond belief. Even the streets were constantly full of cars, and I would soon earn more than my fair share of tickets for my walking oblivious into oncoming traffic. I found secretarial work quickly enough. It was enough to pay rent and groceries, and give me time for my real work of writing. For her part, Helen Ann drew on friends of friends to find a position as an assistant in a local photography studio. She devoted her free time to thoroughly exploring the local bars and trying to convince me to join her. "Just once, Jean Louise, who knows, you might even find someone worth typing about." Chapter 3. In the smoky air of a late-night hangout, veterans are not as easy to pick out as Helen Ann would claim. True, most of the more confident men had served, and there is a certain seriousness to how much they drink and their boldness in indicating interest. But the quiet man at the end of the bar may have seen more horrors in his time than the braggart at the darts. There was more mixing than I was used to. Rowdy Irish in one corner, some Negroes scattered throughout. But otherwise, it was men and women enacting the same old story as everywhere else. I stuck near to my friend and listened more than I spoke, one drink down and another in my hand to make talking easier. Helen Ann has grown more serious herself of late, enough to draw me from my typewriter to investigate. She met someone here last week, and seen him 3 times more since. Uncharacteristically, she has refused to give me more details than veteran and pilot until I meet this Sydney myself. I wonder who has caught her eye, and what there is to keep her coming back. I've just started on my 3rd drink when Helen Ann tugs my sleeve in excitement. "Sydney," she calls, and at first my eye skips right over him in favor of a stout white man who looks up briefly at her call. But Sydney Curtis is not white. He is tall, slim, and wearing a brown leather jacket, just like the one Jem gave me, and he is as black as one of Calpurnia's sons. I manage to return his polite ladies with a weak smile and get my surprise under control with ruthless discipline. I have Aunt Alexandra to thank for that, and wouldn't she be howling if she knew I had a friend sweet on a black man? I understand Helen Ann's reticence much better now. It may not be illegal here in New York, but back in Dixie, I know all too well what she is risking, what he is risking, if he returns her interest. By the way Helen Ann tucks herself into this Sydney's side, I think that interest is given. "Mr. Curtis, my friend tells me you are a pilot in the war," I venture. "It's Lieutenant Curtis, miss, but as a friend of Helen here, I insist you call me Sydney." He watches me carefully to see how I take that, and I relax almost without thinking. I owe my friend better than to go comparing her to Mayella Ewell. "Sydney, as a friend of Helen's, you must call me Jean Louise." Sydney smiled then, slow and warm, and I think I saw him then as Helen Ann sees him. He led us over to a nearby table and introduced me around to his friends, some black like him and some white, all fellow airmen. They obviously knew Helen Ann and were kindly attentive to me as well. I was content to let my friend take the beauty share of their increasingly outrageous compliments so that I could get a better sense of them as individuals, making mental notes for later. Ever since coming here, I have been writing short stories about my childhood, about the things I miss in this cold Yankee city, story after story, and barely worth the paper I type them on. I've been avoiding the stories I have that are all mixed up with the things I do not miss, events I have not spoken of since before the war. In this company, it hurts less to remember. In this company, I almost think I might find the words to finally put the past in its place. The end.